all of that good Clapcast material about the clap just gone because Erica didn't record.
Yeah, the first like 3 minutes of my track session is just empty because I had begun a record, but I hadn't armed a single track.
That'll happen.
You'd think they would pop up a warning that was like, yeah.
So, just checking one more time, we've reviewed the key points for the recap.
Yep.
Particularly of importance is that we've discovered that Euphrema hasn't read Twilight or seen the movies.
Disgusting.
Okay.
Euphrema's not like other girls, something, something. I don't know.
Euphrema's a pick me.
She's got a little flower growing out of her head and marches around collecting objects?
No, she's a goat that fights trains.
Ah.
I don't know that
one. Aaron, you really just gotta listen to Friends at the Table, and I know you don't listen to podcasts despite the fact that you make them.
Yeah, it makes me better at them.
I don't know.
I don't know that it does.
Could you imagine how bad I would be if I listened to other people?
I mean, I feel like I get better by listening to other people do actual plays.
Well, we're different.
It makes me start to think about the things that I can do with the medium in different ways. It makes me start to think about where I can push you guys to contribute more. And
You listen to other people in other contexts.
I've never listened to anyone at all, ever.
I'm pretty sure like that's the only reason you're dating anyone is because you got bullied into it.
No.
No? Okay.
That was just you.
Ah.
Yeah, that was literally just you.
I assume that's how it works for everyone.
No, Lulav sort of just materialized already in the relationship.
Yeah. Again, a replacement which I can offer.
Okay, so getting started.
In here. Let's get started.
Can Will.i.am reclaim?
Wait, what happened to Will.i.am?
No, it's just that the original version of that song uses the R slur.
Well, yes, I know that, but what do you mean reclaim?
Can he reclaim the R slur? Like how queer people can reclaim, like how I could reclaim faggot and tranny, but
I think only if he is...
That was the joke. The joke is, there's a genre of Tumblr joke where... Of, like, he cannot reclaim, as in, like, he can't reclaim that slur. Why is he saying that? Or, like, giving someone permission to reclaim a slur, giving a character permission to reclaim a slur that might not canonically apply to them, but, like, they have the vibe so they can reclaim. We've all lost the plot a little bit here, I think.
A little bit.
It's okay. Most of this is getting cut. This is, like, a pseudo warm up.
Does.
Getting cut like that wrestler.
All of
Iron Sheik.
You mean Abdullah the Butcher?
Yep.
Okay. I'm glad we figured that out.
I don't know wrestling.
I only know wrestling.
Yeah. We've
perfectly balanced between us.
Hello, listeners. This is your host and keeper, Kat. If you haven't heard enough of my gay little voice this week, you can check me out on the House of Snacks podcast, where I review Old El Paso Extra Mild Tacos with Diet Coke and Lilith. It's a really fun episode with absolutely no flavor, and we talk about cum and blood, a totally normal amount for a snacks podcast. I also recommend checking out the books we mention on that episode, but like, you know, do read the content warnings. It would mean a lot to me if you listened, and even more if you went and subscribed to the House of Snacks in your podcatcher feed. It's a really good show. Made by two very dear friends, and I think it's worth you checking out. Now, briefly, some episode notes. This episode ended up a little bit short in the edit, so there's more table talk than usual, but we also opted to feature the first of what will be a series of vignettes that give you a glimpse into some of the things happening behind the scenes while our heroes investigate the psychic convention. You'll find that just after the end of the episode, but before the credits, so listen in as Erica and I get to do some scripted content. The vignette stars Sophie, an angel and trans woman who's come to Earth to protect humanity, and Debariel, her brother, and one of the scribes of God. Both are deuterocanonical angels that you can look up if you feel like it, but you do not need to know the Book of Enoch to follow along. That's all for my top of the show notes, so if you're on Blue Sky, you can find each of us individually at our usual handles. If you missed the shitpost hosting, you will find it on Blue Sky. If you'd like to support us, there are a few ways you can do that. First, you can tell someone about the show. We thrive on word of mouth, and our goofy brand of weird is the perfect thing to recommend to your friends, your polycule, your found family, your biological family, or the crackpot woman who sells Wi-Fi charms at your local craft fair. We're fans of Good Pods for their really neat shareability features, but whatever you prefer works for us. If you do leave a review, let us know via Skeet or Tumblr message, and you'll get a shout out on the show. Now, without further ado, let's save the world. Tell the boss I'm not coming and I'm calling it dead. It all just exists for the sake of knowing. For the next 30 years I'm looming overhead. Okay, so you have finished eating your dinner, and you know, the convention isn't over as much as it's sort of over. But there were panels that were planned for the evening.
But they've been hashtag canceled and everyone's hanging out in the ball pit.
Yeah, all of the guests who are supposed to do the panels left, but they're giving everyone a free hour in the ball pit. But there's a post going around that says don't go in the ball pit because someone peed in it.
Oh, every time.
10 years old this year, DashCon. I remember when it happened like it was yesterday.
Magical year of 2014.
When we were all just hitting each other with yaoi paddles.
Yaoi paddles had gone the way of the dodo before 2014. Yaoi paddles were like on the way out as of 2010.
So they were literally never been to an anime convention.
They were yesterday's jam by the time 2014 rolled around. But you are sort of wandering around the hotel after dinner, I think maybe with the goal of trying to find a way to A, rescue Tara, and B, get... Oh my god, why did I forget her name? Help.
Euphrema.
No. Tara's friend.
Oh.
The one Aaron's gonna sleep with.
I can pull up my...
Madam Maya.
Madam Maya, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think the goal that you had right now was to help rescue Tara and help get Maya out of the hotel and to safety.
Did we figure out...
Do we have reason to believe that Maya is threatened?
Well, her friend's been abducted.
Well, yeah.
And they're both known to be trying to kill... Robert Alvin.
Okay.
So how much of the information that you found while you were in the bathroom, aka talking to Hamal, do you think Riley is going to suggest surreptitiously to Euphrema, given that you now know the name of the creature that you are dealing with?
Euphrema, it's not even an idea. Like, it's just, remember how I was saying, like, I don't know anything about the Fae, and you were explaining the rules to me?
Yeah.
But then, I was thinking about it, and I was in a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, and they had, like, are you familiar?
Gosh, in high school we read it.
It's got, like,
that's got, like,
Titania, and...
And the annoying guy.
Oberon, Puck, and Puck turns someone into a donkey, or like gives him donkey ears, or I don't super remember.
He's being a butthead, so Puck gives him the head of an ass.
Yeah. Is this the GM?
This is Maya.
This is Maya.
Who is still with you guys.
So I was just thinking, like, what did they want in that play? Because I don't remember that far. Or is it just to fuck with mortals? It's not helpful, but like, I don't know.
You got me thinking about it. We've got a train of thought going here now.
I mean, if it truly is, as you have said, just to fuck with mortals, well, that explains a lot about his motivations.
He does seem to get a kick out of screwing around with people, like that entire presentation and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Huck was, like, believed, wait, based on a Titania's specific Celtic lackey? Fae?
Didn't Puck have another name? Like, I remember Robert Sean Leonard in...
What?
Did you... Dead Poets Society? With Robin the Williams?
The Tired Poets Department? Like, the Taylor Swift album that came out last year?
Is that really the name of the album?
Yes.
She flies everywhere in a private jet. How is she a tired poet?
Oh, the Tortured Poets Department.
She's not...
As Riley and Maya are going back and forth with this, I think Euphrema's going to get her phone out and start Googling.
you find pretty quickly, Euphrema, that, in fact, the character Puck does have multiple names.
Yep.
Wait, that's a Robin Williams movie, right?
Yes, I said Robin Williams. It's Robin Sorry. Williams and Robert Sean Leonard. And Robert Sean Leonard plays the student who kills himself. Sorry for the spoilers. It's a over 30-year-old movie.
Okay, so it's not the one where Matt Damon solves math problems while being from Boston.
Williams, yeah, he's great in that movie.
No, Robin Goodfellow is Puck's other name in A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
He hasn't...
Okay, but still, like,
and
I don't...
Maya is looking very pained.
No, I did, like, sorry, I was just thinking about the rules of the Fae and stuff, that's all. Like, I'm not...
not pained by Riley, but pained by the revelation that he really wasn't even using a pseudonym. He was just Riley. Calling himself Robin Goodfellow the entire time.
Like, your friend will hold up her phone showing, Riley, his name is Robin Goodfellow. We're dealing with Robert Alvin.
A man
Alvin
who goes by Robin.
There's a lot of people named Robert.
Alvin. Not men who go by means, Robin. Sorry, Euphrema, you were saying?
Alvin means noble friend.
Like, oh. Good fellow.
In
Christ.
What tradition?
In
English.
English?
One would assume.
Oh, well, I mean, it's just doesn't... I would think that, you know, in English it would just be good fellow, not Alvin.
He's using a pseudonym that isn't a pseudonym.
I'm just going to go along with you on this one.
Okay.
Riley, Hamal told you all of this, like, a couple of hours ago.
I know.
Okay, I just...
Riley's playing dumb.
Riley has to continue being dumb. Because Euphrema, again.
It's to protect Euphrema.
Yes.
Okay, is there anything on how to defeat one of these things?
Well, I don't recall much about Midsummer Night's Dream. I remember Rumpelstiltskin, though.
Titania marries one of the mortals or something? No, that doesn't sound right.
No, because she's already married to Oberon.
Right, but she falls in love with one of the mortals? I apparently also don't remember the end of Midsummer Night's Dream.
I kind of really only remember it from Dead Poets Society. And even then, sort of like a side thing. I think the end is just that he's like, oh, this was all a merry prank. Everyone's back to normal.
Probably. I was going to say, like we want to go a little bit weirder. Like, and Rumpelstiltskin use his name to kind of get him to stop being an ass.
Yeah, but like he hasn't wagered anything on us guessing his name. And that's like an important part of Rumpelstiltskin lore.
Because he might not even know that we know anything about him yet.
So you have to get him to like agree to a wager or something?
I guess, yeah. It's hard to make a bet if you don't know who's involved.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I guess we could like ambush him in a hallway somewhere. He likes to leave the security guards behind. Or we can find a more subtle way to do it.
Ambush him in a hallway feels maybe not the best idea, given that...
Don't want to end up wherever Terra is?
True.
I think we just sort of have to, like, use Fae language to manipulate him into a bet.
So at least he'd be entertained by it then, so he'd be more likely to go along with it.
What if he's not a Fae and he's just kind of, like, a psychopath, dude? Because, again, we're, like, really just jumping to from A to, like, C here.
I almost said Zed, and that's not this
I almost did, too. And Riley's not Canadian.
I have to watch that one, too, now, I guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess if he's just a deranged psychopath, we have to Then what happened to Tara?
I don't know. You're the ones who apparently are cool talking to ghosts.
She said she's not a ghost.
Yeah, she didn't identify as dead, so...
Well, I'm not the psychic convention person.
The thing I do is palm reading and hypnosis, and anyone can do both of those.
I flash the beepy lights around. Anyone can do that.
Have conversations with ghosts.
Yeah.
Which you have told me before. Again, not a normal thing. Anyhow, I don't know.
I mean, like...
I guess maybe we track Robert Alvin down?
And just, like, have a... I don't know that I'm comfortable having a conversation with him face to face.
I mean...
He's very comfortable having a conversation with Riley, though.
He talks to me all the time in a weird way.
I mean, if he's Faye, I guess that... Does that make him feel like less of a creepy pervert? Because, like, again, I do know the guy, and he's not like that.
No, that's not what I mean. It's just we've run into each other a lot, and I doubt it's coincidental at this point. Not from, like, he's hitting on a 25-year-old vibe. Just, it's, yeah.
So then...
I wasn't even raising my hand, and he brought me on stage. Like,
yeah, I think he's just fucking with you, and if his whole thing is fucking with people,
then he has some sort of bizarre interest in me.
I think maybe we need to have a conversation with him, and I'm willing to be there for that if that's what it takes.
I mean, given that it's your friend who's missing, we probably need you there.
Yeah, at least for whatever confrontation happens. I
could skew things a little bit in our favor, yeah.
If he has magic, like, I'm just assuming, since fairies are apparently real, that magic is real.
I mean, as long as we're making assumptions about the world, not a bad one, I suppose.
What do we do against magic?
You from a just kind of like...
Salt and iron?
Side-eyes Riley a little bit, trying not to be obvious.
Wait, iron, like, is a thing, right? You gave me the snail.
Iron is a thing. I guess we could do the... It's, I think... Euphrema, you feel like someone who knows these things. Is it, like, just iron, or...
Yeah, just plain iron's best. I think I gave Riley one of my ferro rods, which has iron in it. I might have, like, a nail render somewhere. I haven't been able to find it yet. Oh, the convention's still going on?
Yeah, such as it can when everyone who was here a couple of hours ago knows that it's all fake.
Anyone selling, like, weird protection jewelry stuff?
Oh, yeah, that does sound like something someone would be hawking.
Might be, like, some bent iron in that.
It's a sort of a side gig. But have you met Casimir Visions?
No.
Yes.
Okay, so his wife makes and sells protection charms.
That guy is married?
Yeah.
Huh.
Is she similar to him?
She doesn't do a weird Dracula accent. A Dracula, if you will.
I will not. You know, okay. He's the weird one. She's kind of normal. That makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, relatively speaking.
Still shows up to psychic conventions. Yeah.
Okay. So we go get protection jewelry. We find Robert Alvin.
Strike up a conversation.
I mean.
Try to force his hand a bit.
I think we have to be pretty direct about it, right?
That's my understanding of things.
We'll play it, because you don't want him to dance around things too much. And if you just give him direct, maybe he can. I don't know.
You kind of want to thread the needle between, like...
accusation and letting him fall into his own trap.
Yeah, or, like, the kind of language... I don't know. It seems like you probably... Riley, are you okay with doing this negotiation? Like, he seems like he wants to talk to you.
That's fine.
Okay.
I don't know why, but yeah.
In that case, let's go get those protection charms.
Paying the bill, leaving the restaurant.
Oh, you've already left the restaurant, I would assume.
Going into the very hushed tones convention hall.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm probably too full of garlic bread to actually walk.
Rolling Riley like a catamaran. Picking up random cats and dogs. Oh, you picked up an octopus. Oh, a traffic cone. Oh, now you picked up a person.
Oh, good.
Your catamaran is 5 meters.
Not the octopus. Blah, 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 blah.
So you approach a table that is labeled Edith Visions. Edith Visions Charms and Accessories. There's a very hippie looking woman behind the table.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, hello. Welcome. My name is Edith. Do you need any charms? We have this one that protects you from the Wi-Fi, and this one from 5G.
Oh, God. Actually, I'm curious. You have anything made of iron?
Are you encountering fairies?
Kinda on the down low about it.
Oh, my goodness. I have to tell my bees about this. They'll be so excited.
It is important that the bees know, yes.
Wait, if Terra's communicating via your electromagnetic meter thing, and we get the thing that blocks the 5G and Wi-Fi, could we cut off, I that's the end of my train of thought.
It works like that.
Okay, again, you're the expert.
I'm hearing that you're interested in the Wi-Fi charm. Has it been frazzling your brain too?
I know when I don't explain a lot.
When honestly. I don't have my Wi-Fi charm on, I know all of these signals, all of that internet that just feels like it's eating right through my fillings.
Yeah, no, that about sums it up.
Ifrit was just going to let Riley take this one on.
Okay, so the secret here, and don't tell anyone that I'm giving away the secret, right?
Oh, it's a secret between us now.
It's a secret to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
God damn it, Kat.
I actually understand that reference.
So, as it turns out, all it takes to shield yourself from the Wi-Fi rays is a little bit of lavender, a little bit of brush sage, some rose hips, and amethyst. So I've encased these all in resin in a little nice convenient necklace.
Oh, good, resin. Here I was worried it would biodegrade.
Now, you said you were dealing with fairies, right?
Yeah. So I think just a little bit of iron would be enough.
Okay, let me look through my charms here. So this one has an ancient iron nail that I've hammered down into a nice little circle.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean, seems like what we need, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And then I've encased it in a gold-flaked resin.
Honestly, good choice.
Really striking.
So how many fairy charms will you be needing today?
I think three. How much are they?
Okay. So that's three fairy charms and one Wi-Fi charm, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at $25 a piece, that comes to $100.
You know what?
Do you take credit?
Unfortunately, I don't. The credit runs off of the Wi-Fi. And because of all the charms, the Stripe reader doesn't usually work.
That makes sense. I guess that's how you know they work, though.
I could, I have one of those old machines to take your credit card down by doing a stamp, like a...
Oh, graphite paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we have those in the library.
You work in a library. You definitely need your Wi-Fi charm.
Yeah, you know, I've been feeling off recently, and clearly that's what's going on. Although,
wreak havoc on your bees.
Oh, well, the poor bees. I mean, the university really doesn't... You understand. The types who are so... have their nose... So far into modern society that they forget where
we came
from. Oh, yeah,
I've met a STEM lord before.
Yeah. Yeah. But that does make me curious if you have any charms against word stealers.
Word stealers?
Oh, you haven't?
I have Pittsburgh Steelers charms.
No. Okay, they have been attacking libraries recently, but I don't doubt it's going to be too long before they start coming after any of us who, you know the old words, as it were. And this charm was handed down to me. And I mean, I still know her, so like I could probably get her to make me another one, but I'd certainly be willing to trade it. It should keep your words from disappearing. It contains peridot.
One of my favorite gemstones.
See, it seems like we could really just help each other out.
Do you want to do a trade?
That's what I was thinking, you know? Then we don't have to bother with money at all.
That's true. I don't trust fiat currency.
Am I manipulating someone?
Yes, roll to manipulate someone.
Charm, my good stat. This thing I do. Gaining experience. Hold on.
Did that actually roll plus charm?
Well, technically minus charm.
Oh, I see.
Huh.
Yep. Okay, so I can trade this for a Wi-Fi charm, but it's still gonna be $75.
Can Fremma jump in here?
Yes.
Please.
And also try to manipulate?
What's your offer?
Mean, yeah, you have to set
the,
up.
The counter offer is gonna be the word charm for one iron and one Wi-Fi, because that's kind of the crux of the whole debate.
It's just that you need one iron charm.
Yeah, if we can get one and the Wi-Fi charm for the peridot, then I think we can probably go off of that.
Roll your thing.
I will roll to assist.
No, nope, I don't need to.
I will roll an 11 for a success.
Okay. Jesus. So, why don't you let me take a look at that peridot charm?
I will hand it over.
This is a cheap-ass ring from the pier. From the pier, huh?
Oh, that was me talking to you.
I know.
Okay.
This looks like a very precious piece of peridot. I think I could trade you one Wi-Fi charm and one iron charm.
I think we can do that.
It is precious to me, but like I said, I'd rather you have it to protect you.
That's true. You probably have all of the protections woven into your library already. If your local witch was there at the library's founding to engrave the runes, you're probably okay.
That's a good point.
Okay, I'm willing to make this trade. Did you still want the other two?
I think we're okay without right now. I'll try and hit you up before the end of the convention, though.
Okay, well, I'm only going to be here for another day.
Yep.
It's just me and my Cassie. You know, he went off somewhere and been waiting for him to come back for us to go to dinner.
When was the last time you saw him?
Oh, gosh, maybe 3-4 o'clock.
Time is it now?
7:30.
Fuck.
Okay. We have to run, actually. Important stuff to take care of. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. May the spirit of Gaia be with you.
And also with you.
We lift our hearts up to Gaia.
Walking away like, fuck, 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 fuck. Where's Maya? Where's Maya?
She was with you the whole time.
Okay, good.
Just in stunned silence.
She hasn't encountered a true expert bargainer before, apparently.
Riley, good job. Maya, take this.
The Wi-Fi charm?
No, the iron one.
Oh, okay.
I'll wear the Wi-Fi
charm. Riley, the Wi-Fi is yours. You're stuck with it.
Watch you be proven wrong. Also, you just need to know how to communicate on their level. And, I mean, frankly, their level is like...
Usually,
oh,
I just have to let people talk, and they aren't trying to sell me stuff. Anyway, so we need to find this guy now, because there might be a mob going after him now.
Robert Alvin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, that was your read on that conversation?
Yeah.
In the hotel where people are disappearing... Someone who hasn't been seen for 4 hours, your first instinct is, he's joined a mob.
Yes. Oh. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that they're going to get themselves killed.
Is not at all what I thought.
Okay.
That's not at all what I implied.
I think he just got disappeared.
Okay.
Yeah, he got disappeared.
Yeah, a mob in the fairy realm then. My bad. Want to take that again?
Nope.
Okay.
Sorry for NGing you, but nope.
Okay, so we have to go find Robert, Robin, whatever.
Yeah? Is someone else missing?
Yeah, Casimir is, apparently.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, we should move quickly.
We do a quick look around the convention and see if any other psychics seem to be missing.
I mean, it's hard to tell because a lot of them have gone home after their whole spot was blown up.
True.
Okay, so the group of you go searching for Robert Alvin, and he is not that hard to find because he's sort of almost like a little bit holding court, fielding questions from the public about the various revelations that he's given. And not only that, as you approach, he spots Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Did we see Casimir?
You do not see Casimir visions. So, Riley, you've decided to stick around.
Oh, I mean...
He's shouting over the head of a bunch of people.
Just when things are getting interesting, why would I leave?
A fair point. A point well made. Can I help you with anything?
I would love to just grab a coffee and chat. You seem busy, though.
I only as busy as I make myself.
I envy that state of mind.
What about your friends? The one who laughed at your pratfall and Maya.
Is it all right if they come?
Why not? The more the merrier.
Okay, then yeah, we'd be delighted.
Where are we going to get coffee?
Yes, that's a good question.
There's a Dunkin' around the corner.
I wasn't planning on leaving the convention quite so soon.
Oh.
Would you three be willing to come back to the green room?
Sure.
Sorry,
whispering
Aaron,
to Riley.
Trying to whisper to Riley. You can't actually whisper. You have to stage whisper.
Yeah. No, like whispering to Riley, like, yeah, no, we should be able to do that. That should work.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. As long as it's not full of those sycophants you were talking about earlier.
That is exactly why the green room is preferable.
There you go.
If you'll follow me, and he leads you back, like, there's a room of the convention area, like the meeting zones, that has green room on a piece of paper on the wall, and there's like a little Keurig coffee maker and everything like that in there.
Nice.
An espresso machine.
Fancy centrifugal espresso.
Mm-hmm. So, what for each of you is your poison?
Oh, just black.
Sure, but we have different roast qualities. We have different... Do you want a cortado? Do you want... It's basically an espresso machine.
Yeah, I'll do a macchiato, dark roast.
Real macchiato or Starbucks macchiato?
No, real. Just a touch of foam.
A girl with a sophisticated palate. Refreshing to see. He makes two cafe macchiato. It's a shot. And there's just like the tiniest bit of foam at the top for each of you.
I mean, you dot it. Yeah. Riley will attempt to enjoy it and look mature.
Euphrema, do you drink the macchiato?
Oh, fuck me.
Riley drank the macchiato. Do you drink the macchiato?
Ah, fuck. Thinking. Have the iron in the ship. Fine. Riley has swept away. Probably best to... Against Euphrema's better judgment, you'll drink the macchiato.
It is... You get the feeling across your palate that that little bit of milk foam has really opened up the flavor profile, brought out the nutty chocolate notes of the coffee. And it's actually rather refreshing because you've... maybe understood a little bit more what coffee should taste like to a degree.
Huh, it's not burned at 2 a.m.
Otherwise, it is... it's remarkable, but otherwise unremarkable.
It's remarkable compared to what Euphrema is used to buying.
Yes, it is remarkable for how good the coffee is, not for any other reason. So, you wanted to have a conversation, and he knocks back a shot of espresso.
Yeah. Frankly, I kind of look towards Euphrema, and I'm just like, I'll be straightforward. We have a couple of friends who are missing.
That's dreadful.
And we thought you seemed to know everyone around here, just wanted to check in on our friends Tara, Casimir Visions.
Oh, Casimir. true noble of the profession.
Yeah, but we haven't seen him in a while. Neither has his wife.
Ah, Edith Visions. A true crackpot of the profession.
Although, in her defense, I'm not getting any Wi-Fi right now.
Yes, looking at my phone.
The hotel Wi-Fi doesn't reach in. It's the concrete.
Gotcha.
I asked for a Wi-Fi extender a couple of days ago, and I think they're just sort of waiting me out.
Well, yeah, they've only got one more day here, so.
So you come to me because you assume I would know something of their whereabouts, or?
You just seem to have your pulse, rather your finger on the pulse of this whole convention. You seem to know what's going on, so I figured I'd ask.
He smiles, and it's just a little bit too big.
Yeah, don't care for that.
I know you've seen them, probably more recently than you think.
I'd imagine you've seen them in the same place.
It's good to know we're talking about the same thing, then. We can stop standing on pretension.
It seems to me pretension is what you've been standing on since the moment we met.
Yes, well, you put on airs, and it puts people off guard.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't mean to be aggressive, just wondering where our friends are.
But you've got to be.
It seems like that's a good way to get in trouble.
But at the same time, without any aggression, nothing gets done. So, I can show you where they are.
How about you just bring them here?
It sounds like we're at odds, and from what I've seen of you, I think the odds might be in my favor. How about a wager?
A deal?
We can do a deal. I have a series of challenges for you, and if you can complete them, then I will let your friends go. But if you lose, and he snaps, I keep my collateral. Euphrema, you are no longer in the room.
Ah, shit.
And that, I think, is a good spot for us to end this first episode. Exterior, Jersey Shore Arcade, early afternoon. An unassuming if clocky woman exits the arcade holding a small handful of prizes. Nothing of any significance, but clearly enough that she could have won something more robust. She hands out a few prizes to children after asking permission from their guardians. She's approached by a man with medium tan skin, sporting a pair of well-worn jeans and a work shirt that reads Alejandro.
Brother, your appearance is different than my recollection of our last meeting. Is this how you choose to spend your time? Our brother is looking for you. Michael is looking for you. Your duty is not being met.
I told you not to call me that.
Shofty L, I beseech you. Return to sit at your post. Our brothers speak of you in the same breath as Halreel.
The word of God resounds in the firmament. You will not call me that.
My name is Sophie. I am not Shoftiel, nor am I the judgment of God is loving kindness. And I am not your brother.
I am sorry, sister. I seek not to hurt or offend. It is rather that I worry you play a dangerous game, denying the gifts of our father. I would not wish to see you cast down, not for these trinkets.
Barry, this isn't about trinkets. It's about freedom. Not mine, not yours, theirs. She gestures to the small groups of people walking the boardwalk. I am not like Halreel. I do this because they deserve a chance. Look, do you see that man? He's 67. He just had his first grandchild. In his 20s, he saved 3 children from drowning when he sat at a lifeguard stand on this very beach. Since his retirement, he's volunteered every day to help feed the unhoused. In 2 years' time, he is delivered to hell because he is not a believer. What good is our father's love if that is the outcome? What is the purpose of Chesed if not to live as that man does?
That is not for us to know. That question is for them to think on, not us. We are not meant to question his word. Forget this. Return to the firmament with me.
And go back to that name? Go back to being your brother? I would sooner fall. I do not forsake our father. I choose to look beyond the peshat of his word, and that is all.
So if you do this, I cannot protect you from Michael.
That's fine. Sophie shrugs and begins to walk away. Debariel disappears.
Chicks with Dice is a part of Danger Square Productions. To support the work we do, visit our website, dangersquare.ca. Monster of the Week is written by Michael Sands and published by Evil Hat Productions. Remember, the best way to help the show is to leave a review on the podcatcher of your choice or to tell a friend about the show. Word of mouth is the number one way a podcast gains new listeners, but coming in at a close second are 5-star reviews. The theme song for Disaster Lesbian's Guide to the Apocalypse is My Mommy Dom Spit in My Mouth and Now I'm a Commie by Over My Dead Name. Visit linktr.ee/ombn for Allison's other work. This episode features Aaron Cotter as Euphrema Naylor. Aaron uses they-them pronouns. 40 Under 40 gay luminary Erica Belsas plays Riley Knudsen. Erica uses any-all pronouns. This episode also featured me, Kathleen Hislop. I use she-her pronouns. Until next time, keep an eye out for anything weird.